Amen. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, if you will, chapter number 15, and read a verse and a phrase here to get started. But while you're turning, I want to say again what a privilege and honor it is for us to be here. Thank you for having us again, Brother Jarvis. We appreciate churches that feel like that our family can have a part in revival. And never gets old to us. I love coming and having revival. When it gets old, it's time to probably either pray through or do something different. But I hadn't got there yet. I love revival. I love God moving among His people. I want to tell you, yesterday morning service, and Brother Jarvis mentioned it, that was a special service to me. I mentioned at the end there, I felt like God just give me another little glimpse of loving people like He does. I can't do it. I'm not capable physically to do it. But oh, I want to try my best to be God's arms reaching in love to men and women. Can you say amen? Appreciate Him working among us yesterday morning and what He did in hearts and lives last night in the service. Matthew chapter number 15, and we'll read verse number 22 and part of verse number 23 to get started. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Would you say that's a passionate prayer there? I mean, praying for your children. Moms, dads. That's a passionate prayer there. You gotta help me. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Verse number 23, that first phrase, but He, Jesus, answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven and ask the Lord to touch us here in this place tonight? Would you sincerely call out to God for us here tonight? Father, I pray right now that You would captivate our hearts and our minds here for a few moments. Drive out every hindering spirit, Lord, that wicked fowl of the air that would steal Your word from us, bind him in Jesus' name. God, let faith rise up in the heart of every person in this place, Lord. That measure of faith You have given us, Lord, and placed inside the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. Let it rise up, Lord, and receive Your word and believe Your word and respond in a positive fashion to Your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody can say, amen, amen. I want to talk to you about this woman grabbing God's attention. Grabbing God's attention. This phrase that I emphasize there, but He answered her not a word. That phrase flies in the face of everything I have ever believed about God. My mother was saved when I was 3 years old. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I was raised in a church of people listening to testimonies of God answering prayers, listening to preachers tell about miraculous things that God had performed in their lives. I remember mothers testifying about how He brought their boys home from the war. I remember mothers testifying how God fed them in the depression and years when food was scarce and money was scarce. I remember God them testifying how God put gas in their car and air in their tires and provided for them, made a way out of no way. They taught me that God hears and answers prayer. And as a little boy, Brother Jarvis, just a young boy, something leapt up in my heart and said, that is the God that I want to serve. As a young boy, I heard those testimonies of those saints of God, and I believed them. They were verified by witnesses that were around, and my heart grabbed a hold of the fact that we do have a God that can be touched with the very feelings of our infirmities, that we do have a God that hears us when we pray in the middle of the night, in the early morning hours, late at night when everybody else is asleep, and your peace is gone when you call out to God. We have a God that hears and answers prayer. Amen? I grew up believing that. And as a young man, I embraced that. As a young married man, Brother Jarvis asked us before church what age we were when we got married. I don't always say it from the pulpit because I almost always have mothers and fathers say, please, don't say that out loud. So I'm giving you this disclaimer. You got about 3 seconds to put your hands over that young lady's ears if you don't want her to hear this. But we were 18 and 16. My wife was 4 days away from being 17. I know it's too young. You wasn't the first one to tell us. Well, when we went to get the marriage license there in Highland County, Ohio, that lady was running that place. Son, she let us have it with both barrels. My wife's mother was with us. Had to be. In fact, we had to get a paper to take home for her dad to sign. Had to have two signatures. That woman, I mean, she chewed us. I mean, didn't change my mind, but, you know, made me think I was fixing to get a whooping for what I was doing. We were just two messed up kids when we got married. But we learned early on, you could call on God, and God would help messed up kids. God would help messed up people. God would hear and answer prayer. He healed our bodies. He provided food. He provided raiment. He provided jobs. God was our provider. God, all the things that I heard as a boy from those saints of God became true in my own life, that God hears and answers prayer. And even then, as a teenager when I read this verse, always as a young preacher when I read this verse, it jumped on me that that's not right. I've preached about this woman's great faith from coast to coast, always reading these scriptures. She came to Christ with a great need. She left Christ with a great miracle. And the key was her great faith. That's what Jesus said. Great is thy faith. But every time I've read this scripture in private and in public, verse number 23 has screamed at me, what are you going to do with that, Davy? He answered her not a word. That doesn't sound like the God that I embrace. Are y'all with me here? But I must admit, that does sound familiar in real life experience sometimes. You pray and there is no answer. And the voices of hell scream in your ear, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do when he doesn't say anything? Well, verse number 23, he says nothing. Verse number 28, he says, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So in 5 verses time, this woman did something that grabbed God's attention. It looks like he totally ignores her, Brother David. It looks like he's not the least bit interested. He answered her not a word, but it never does say he didn't hear her. It never does say that he wasn't aware of her. He just did not answer her the moment she cried. But five verses later, she's on her way home with a promise that when she gets home, her daughter is going to be healed. Praise God. She does something that grabs God's attention in these verses. And I believe here on Monday night of revival, I believe from this side of the church to this side of the church, God's will is for us to grab his attention in our own needs. Can the church say amen? Now, everybody has needs, right? Everybody has serious needs. Do you have needs that qualify like this? That if God were to move in them in the next 7 days, you would know it has to be God. It's a miracle. Anybody have needs like that? Raise your hand if you don't mind. You have needs like that? Nearly 100%. Now, let me just explain that. I have needs. And some of those needs I can do something about. Now, our little green machine car out here, we've had that about 5 years. It's running good. I'm not fixing to trade it off that I know of. I stay away from new car lots, even used car lots. That smell intoxicates me. I just ain't no sense going. Want to keep that thing? I pretty much run cars till they just about fall apart and make a good teenager a good car that runs half the time. That's about what a teenager needs. And so, you know, that's about how I run them. I picked up a 12-foot piece of all thread in the back bumper of that car, pulling behind the bus down in Alabama. I seen it. I went back and looked in the dash cam. I seen when I picked it up, I drug it 35 miles. I don't know how many miles it drug behind the car. There's a hole in the back bumper over there. It stuck through there. 12-foot piece of all thread just flopping in the wind, I guess. We pulled into a church, and my wife went back to start the car. She said, you need to come look at this. I thought maybe the car wasn't there or the wheels were gone or something, and went back there, and it's got a 12-foot tail sticking out the back of it. But it's a good car. It's a good car. But if I wanted a new car, I wouldn't have to necessarily seek God's face or get an answer from God. Y'all with me here? I could probably go to any dealership here and just sign the papers. There's some things it'd probably be wise to pray about, right? But I probably wouldn't have to just get an answer from God. I could do some things. I mean, when I got hungry today, I mean, there have been times when I got hungry, I prayed about, God, what are we going to eat? But not today. I already had the word, we're going to Frisch's at 1:30. Oh, yeah. And I had to pray about that. Brother Jarvis said, Frisch's 1:30? Good. Sounds great to me. We're on the way. But there are some things Frisch's won't solve. The bank won't solve. I can't get a loan for it. The lawyer does no good. The doctor has not an answer. There's some things in our lives we've got to have God. Are y'all with me here? Many of you raised your hands. You have situations in your life that if God were to move in it, you would know it's a miracle because you can't do it, right? Now, I want you to zero in on one thing in your life, if you can. Narrow that down to one particular thing, and I want you to bring it right to the forefront of your mind. I don't want you to let that thing get away from you all during this service tonight, because I want somebody to grab God's attention for that one thing in your life. I want God to give us a notable miracle tonight or in the next 7 days because somebody did something to grab God's attention. You may think, you know, grabbing God's attention, that sounds a little bold, but really, that's the way Paul put it. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldly grabbing God's attention, boldly obtaining mercy, boldly letting God know I've got a need and I've got to have a miracle. God, I'm not hearing from you, but I'm gonna pray anyway. And that's the first step to grabbing God's attention, is becoming serious about prayer. I don't know the beginnings of this church, but I know it goes back over 100 years. I do remember that. And I guarantee you this church was birthed in prayer. Oh, yeah. I guarantee you this church was birthed in its early revivals. And this is a church that's been known to have community-changing revivals. This church's revivals and its beginning was birthed in prayer. It was continued in prayer. And if we have any miracles today in our church and in our lives, it will be because we are praying people. Can somebody give me a witness here? We talk about prayer. We sing about prayer. We testify about prayer. We advertise that we have prayer meetings. We preach about prayer. But are we known as people of prayer? Listen, if we're ever going to grab God's attention, we're going to have to be people that diligently spend time in prayer. What are we known as? You may be the very best cabinet maker, the very best plumber. You may be the go-to guy for computers. You may be the most awesome musician, the most talented singer. You may be the best drywaller, the bricklayer, truck driver, whatever you do for a living. But really, is that all we want to be known as? Wouldn't it be better to be known as people that can get a hold of God through prayer? Can I don't always do this, but can I just share a personal note with you here? I just passed a birthday, and Odie sent out text and emails to some of our friends across the country, and she asked them to respond and text or email with birthday wishes. And we didn't have a week-long celebration or anything like that. We just Odie thought it would be special, and I didn't know anything about it till they started coming in. And you know, I really received a lot of nice text and emails and even phone calls and even a few birthday cards as a result of it. And they said some really nice things. In fact, some of them probably stretched the truth just a little bit, but we do that for friends, okay? And I understood they were being friendly, you know, so I didn't let it go to my head, but it still makes you feel good. Y'all with me here? And there were some that talked about messages that I had preached, and some of them years before, and songs that I had sang, and even some of them talked about times that I had ministered to them personally and came to their assistance when they were, you know, facing a tragedy or something. You know, just things that I had done in the past to express friendship that they remembered, and some of those things I had forgotten. And it was a really cool birthday gift from my daughter, bringing these people together with these wishes. But I want to tell you something, and I want you to see the motivation behind this. Out of, I don't know, 50, 60 responses, not one of them said, when I need something from God, Davy is the guy that can get a prayer through. Y'all with me here? Now, I didn't say that about you. And not that some of them might not have thought about it, you know, might not have said, they might would have said if they thought about it, but it's not what I'm known for. And I'm going to tell you, I took that to heart. And I've been in prayer recently, and I said, oh God, maybe I will never be known as a person that prays, but if they never know, I need to know, and I need you to know, that my number one fallback is not my bank account or my friendships or my relationship with people, but my number one fallback is I know that you answer prayer. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say? God, if there's anything important in this life, it's that we become people of prayer. And that's going to take more than lay me down to sleep. Thank you for this day. Thank you for a brand new day. And Lord, bless this food. It's going to take people who make up their mind, I am going to pray. This woman came and poured out her heart to God. And that's the first step in in grabbing his attention. And we have a formula for prayer, Brother Jarvis, and that formula is we go to God the Father through God's Son in the name of Jesus. In fact, Jesus gave us that formula. Let me read it here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, this will blow your mind. The works that I do, Jesus said, shall he do also greater works than these. Man, how many just jumped it up there about 100 miles? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's the formula. I wonder if I could ever wrap my mind around the power that Jesus Christ gives us to approach the Heavenly Father that made everything in the same authority as the Son has. In the name of Jesus. Several years ago, we met a family in Missouri. They came to a revival because they had the same last name as the evangelist. They were a Boggs family. Never had that happen before or since. They came simply because the evangelist's name was the same last name as theirs. And they came, they have 9 children, but 4 of them were grown. They brought 5 of their children that were still at home. And I was introduced to them before church. And I preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost that night. God did a wonderful thing for that family. He baptized 4 of those 5 children in the Holy Ghost that night. And so that kind of just bonded our families together. And they are from Eastern Kentucky, Elliott County, that area over there, back 115 years ago. So same county and area that my dad is from. So probably some kin way back, you know. But we just bonded together. And we've preached for them a lot and been in their homes a lot. And they've been to see us at various revivals and all over the country. But they had not met my family back home in Ohio. And so one time they called me and they said, hey, we're out here in Ohio. Now, they got 9 children, okay? 4 of those children were married. I forgot to tell you, they had 20 grandchildren by that time. So with in-laws, children, mom, dad, grandkids, there's 35 of them. Now they're all of them's married. There's a lot more of them now, but there's 35 of them. They said, we're out here in Amish country, and we'd kind of like to go by and meet your mom and dad. We'd just love to meet them. I said, man, I'm sure they'd be glad for you. When are you thinking about going? You know, I'm thinking about tomorrow, next week, whatever. And they said, well, we're on our way there. The GPS says we're about 2 hours from your hometown. I said, let me make a phone call. So I called my dad. I said, hey, Dad, do you remember the Boggs family that I told you about in Missouri? And he said, oh, yeah, I remember them. I would love to meet them, my dad said. And I chuckled too, and I said, that's awesome, Dad. That's really nice that you would say that. They're on their way to your house, 35 strong, right now. They'll be there in less than 2 hours. Dad said, I'll take care of it. He called my brothers and my sister and got my mom involved. When the 35 members of the Boggs family pulled up, my mom and dad had hamburgers and hot dogs grilled on the grill. They had snack cakes. They had chips. They had ice cold water and cold drinks. And they had pies. They, and in fact, one of my brothers cooked several pounds of shrimp, grilled it on the grill. I mean, they had a feast fit for a king. In fact, they had a feast for them, kind of like they do for us. There's been several years we left at Christmas and didn't go home till camp meeting the 3rd week in August. And I want to tell you, absence really does make the heart grow fonder. It really does. When we've been gone 7.5 months, I mean, it's like the prodigal son come home. They invite Kelly's family over. I mean, they just bust down the doors. They kill the fatted calf. We all eat and laugh. And they did the same thing for strangers that they do for the son. But here's what I want you to see. If Mitchell Boggs had called the first Eugene Boggs in the phone book in Waynesville, Ohio, he would have gotten my dad. My dad would have probably said, with 35 people, people coming. Yes, I'd like to meet you. Pull up in the yard. We'll get you something to drink. I'm sure he would have been cordial to them. But they would not have received the welcome, the kingly welcome, the feast fit for a family like they did without calling the Son. You see, they had no relationship with the Father, but they knew the Son. And the Son called the Father, and the Father said, I'll take care of it. Are y'all here with me? That's the privilege that we have to bring our needs before God the Father, is to go to His Son, and His Son whispers our need into the ear of the Father. I want to tell you, I have in some of my lowest moments, Brother Jarvis, when I have called out to God, when my nerves were on fire, when I was wondering what I would do, I have called out to God, and all of a sudden, I felt something kind of raise up in me, and my shoulders begin to square back, and my head begin to raise, because I got a picture in my mind of my name passing the lips of the Son of God into the ear of God the Father. Because that's what He's doing, making intercession for you and I. When we pray, He prays to the Father, and God answers our prayer. This woman did all that. She went to Jesus needing help from God, and He answered her not a word. What do you do then? Passionate prayer according to the formula, and you hear nothing? That's when a lot of us kind of get our feelings hurt at God. But you got to read the rest of that verse, number 23. He answered her not a word, and the disciples, this is in the same verse, the disciples besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. So here's what she did. She kept praying. He didn't hear her. He didn't answer. He didn't say anything. And so she went to the disciples. Did I hear him call you? John, listen. I don't think he's listened to me. I don't think he understood how serious this is. My daughter is being destroyed by the devil. And she went to Peter, and she went to James, and maybe she went to Thomas, and she went to Levi, and she went through the disciples because she would not stop praying. If you want to know the next step in grabbing God's attention when it seems like prayer doesn't work, pray again. Be persistent in prayer. Now, some of you that knew Brother Ralph Cox will appreciate this story, and the rest of you can kind of imagine it, okay? Brother Ralph Cox and Brother Glenn Beshear, two Oklahoma preachers, both of them in heaven now. Brother Glenn was having terrible, terrible fits in a church, and he was just about to give up, and he got in the car to go somewhere with Brother Cox. Brother Cox is driving, and Brother Beshear is just pouring his heart out. He said, Ralph, you got to tell me what to do, and don't you tell me to pray. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I don't want to hear it. And Brother Ralph Cox, you just got to know him. He's just driving along, and without ever looking, he said, Glenn, pray again. Hallelujah. Pray again. That's the answer. That's the answer. Just be persistent in prayer. Don't stop. When it seems like your prayers aren't answered, don't quit. You remember maybe 25 years or so ago, kind of the Word of Faith movement begin to kind of fill a, it always, what they do always kind of filters down to our churches somewhat. They begin to teach that if you prayed more than one time, you didn't have faith. Y'all remember that? If you pray more than one time, you don't have faith. Well, it really helps if you're going to preach something if it matches up with the Bible. And that one doesn't, okay? Jesus prayed for the blind man. Now tell me what you see there, son. I see men as trees walking. Oh, hallelujah. That's good. Go home. It's going to get better. No. He prayed again. He touched him again. He actually touched that man three times. He first took him by the hand and led him out of the city. Then he prayed for him, and then he prayed for him again. Now what do you see? I see all men clearly. My friend, it's not a lack of faith to pray again. It's a lack of faith when you quit praying. Pray again. I said pray again. Be persistent in prayer. Oh, I would to God that right here in 2017, in March, this first day of spring, that God would put it in some hearts right here
that we are going to become, and we are going to continue to be people who are persistent in prayer. She prays, he says nothing. She prays again, he finally speaks. And this time, when he speaks, he doesn't speak to her. He speaks to them about her. Well, I don't know. I'd almost rather be ignored than purposely ignored. You know, if you go to Walmart and you see somebody and you kind of wave and they turn the buggy and they go the other way. Yeah, well, maybe they seen me, maybe they didn't. If they come right up and they talk to the person beside you about you and they never speak to you, that's a pretty good sign you're being ignored. He says to the disciples, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Lord, do something for this woman. Get rid of her, heal her, whatever. Send her away. I'm not sent to her. I'm not sent to her. Odie sees this a lot in a wheelchair. Kelly and Odie will be out. And pay attention to this next time you meet somebody in a wheelchair that you don't already know. It's an easy tendency to talk to the person that's pushing the chair. And somebody will come up to Kelly and they'll say, I love that dress that she's got on. Her hair is so beautiful. Well, how long has she been in a wheelchair? And Odie said she wants a sign that says, I can talk. You know, I'm crippled, but I can still talk. I can hear what you're saying. We've got some acquaintances, some friends, and he's blind. And his wife was telling us nearly every time they go out to eat, the waitress will ask her, how does he like his steak? Does he need more tea? And she has just enough sarcasm to be dangerous. And she'll say, I don't know. He's blind, not deaf and dumb. Ask him. Just enough to make a waitress feel about that tall. But the message is, speak to me. I'm a human. Jesus speaks to the disciples about her without addressing her. This is the real test of faith, friends. What will you do with that need? You remember those needs I asked you to bring at the forefront of your mind? That you need a miracle in your life? What will you do with that need when after you have been faithful and persistent in prayer, God speaks to someone else rather than speaking to you? That's the test of faith. Will I get mad? Will I gather up my stuff and go home? Will I say, I'm not going to be treated like that? That's my nature. God's not going to do me like that. God's not going to treat me like that. I don't have to put up with that. I've poured my heart out to God. Now, nobody's saying all those words, but some of us have had those feelings. Y'all with me here? And here's what she does. They have a conversation, but it boils down to this. Then she came and worshiped him. She prayed. He said nothing. She persisted in prayer. He answered, but not to her. And so what does she do? She worships him. She praises God, even when it looks like God is not worthy of praise. When you want to grab God's attention, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, how about we just take a step back, and we say, God, I love you just like things are. God, I don't understand the way things are, but I love you just how things are. Man, I wish I could preach to somebody here tonight. I don't like the way things are. I want things different. My heart is that you will move in this need, but God, you are still God, even when I am still in need. Oh, somebody here, raise a hand toward heaven and say to God from your heart, God, I praise you in spite of what I don't understand about you. I understand you. You are God. To demonstrate that point, I'm going to share with you the thing that's at the forefront of my mind. And I'm not going to ask you what you're praying about. And I'm not going to ask you to share it. But I'm going to share with you mine. The thing that I would most like to grab God's attention for tonight is for the healing of my daughter. I would love, I think more than anything in this world, for Odie to rise up out of that wheelchair, walk down off those steps, and go back home with us, walk out just like all of us walked in. And I know God is able to do it. And many of you have been in services with us in camp meetings and revivals, even right here where folks were praying for Odie, and it looked like that was the night. I mean, you've been there, Brother David, over and over and over when they were praying for Odie. And I mean, I was just kind of backing up. Here it is. This is it. This is a moment that we've been waiting for. Yet we carried her out many times, or pushed her out, or walked beside her on her cage or on her walker, just like we came in, and sometimes in more pain than she came in with. And I don't understand why, and I don't like all the reasons why it could be, but here's what I've determined to do. I'm going to keep praying. I'm not going to stop praying. In fact, I'm going to pray again, but I'm going to praise God for all the things He has done in her life. Y'all follow me here? How about October 14th, 1985, on the night when she was born 2 hours early by an emergency surgery just to save her life and to save the life of my wife and her mother, and the chances were touch and go whether she would even survive. I want to thank God that 27 days later we carried her out of intensive care, and the very next Sunday morning I laid her on the altar of our home church, and as the young people sang "Come Into My Heart," I laid her up on the altar and I sang it for her. Praise God. I want to thank God that when I could have laid her in the ground over there in Miami Cemetery, I didn't have to. She's still here with me 31 years later, singing the gospel, testifying all over the country in different places in the world, because God has been good to me. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm going to praise Him for what He has done. I'm going to praise Him that when she was 5 years old, we were at an outdoor camp meeting somewhere in the Kissimmee, Florida area, a rented campground. Brother Don Rich was the night speaker. And during the day service, Brother Rich called Odie up. He wasn't running the day service, but he stopped everything. Called her up. We carried her up, set her on the altar. For 20 minutes, he read to her out of scripture about faith, talked to her, and prayed for her. And we picked her up and carried her back to the car, just like we always did. But the very next week, we were just a couple hours south of here in Tennessee in revival. We were sitting in the pastor's house. Her fingers were very involved. When she was a girl with the cerebral palsy, she couldn't button a coat, great big old buttons. She couldn't button it. She couldn't unbutton it. We were sitting in the pastor's house, and I looked down. She was in my lap, and she had unbuttoned my shirt completely from top to bottom, right there in front of God and everybody. And I said, "Odie, what are you doing?" And then I realized, she can't do that. I said, "Odie, what have you done? Look what you've done." And from that moment on, her fingers were healed. She has really great hand-eye coordination. Life would have been so much more difficult for her if she had not had the use of her hands. I want to praise God for it. I think I just want to run a little bit and praise God for what He has done. I wish I could talk to you here about how important it is for us to take a moment to praise Him for the miracles we have had. November the 2nd, 2006, in Claremore, Oklahoma, church parking lot, just Brother Shabanke, Kelly Joe, myself, and Odie. He felt like praying for her, and he prayed for her. He walked her around that parking lot. He preached, he sang, he had her sing, he had her read scripture, about 50 minutes. And I thought, sure, she's going to get healed. But we loaded her back in the truck just like we always did, got down to the next revival in Purcell, Oklahoma. And she realized that night, for the first time in many, many years, she could actually move one leg without the other leg going with it. Her muscles were much looser in her legs. Her pain level is decreased by 90%. She spent years and years in terrible, terrible pain. Every night she would just unroll her legs several times a night, just stretch herself out. And now that still happens, but it is the exception rather than the nightly rule. That moment changed her life. I don't know why the whole miracle didn't come, but I'm going to take a moment to praise Him for the pain, the less pain she's had over 10 years now, and the freedom of movement she's had, because God met us in a church parking lot. April of 2014, when she woke up completely blind in her left eye. The doctors didn't know what to do, and we certainly didn't know what to do. We couldn't get approvals on anything from insurance companies, just an absolute mess. And 9 days of total blindness in her left eye. And in one moment's time, God began to heal that eye. She said, when she first looked across the street, covered her good eye, and looked across the street, and she said at my mom and dad's, "Dad, I don't mean to say I'm seeing things that I'm not, because I, you know, I'm having faith, but I think I see the outline of those trees over there." And I got to thinking about that man that saw those men as trees walking. We started praising God, and my parents came out, and they were praising God. And within 3 hours, she was reading the big E on the eye chart. And now she has 20/20 vision in both eyes. In fact, that's better vision than she had before the devil attacked her vision. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take time to praise God, because we were thinking, we've got a little girl that's in a wheelchair and now blind in one eye. Is it going to spread? You know, fear hath torment. And I just want to take time to praise God for moving for my little girl. He's been a wonderful God. I said He's been a wonderful God. He's worthy of our praise. Bona fide miracles in our life. Well, that's what I want you to do tonight. I didn't ask Brother Jarvis. I guess it's okay. Rather than a prayer line, I'd like to have a praise line. I'd like for you to bring that one particular need that you've been focusing on, that you need a miracle in, and I want you to bring it to the altar. Come around this altar, and for a moment, rather than asking God again, let's praise God for all the ways He has worked toward that miracle. You understand what I'm saying? If you're praying, if that one need is a wayward son, why don't you come and thank God that God spared that son from that car accident, that that son is still alive and breathing with a chance to get saved. If you're praying for a miracle for your body, come and thank God for every time He's already touched you. If you're praying for a new job, come and praise God for every job He's already given. Y'all with me here? Whatever it is, praise Him along those lines, and then we will pray again and believe that somebody has grabbed God's attention. Maybe somebody here is not serving God to your full potential because you misunderstood what God is doing in your life. What you need to do is come down to the altar and say, "God, I'm going to serve You anyway. I'm going to love You anyway. I'm coming with the church. I'm going to praise You anyway." This is your altar call. Would you stand? I'd like to see you moving toward the front. Come around here and stand or kneel or sit down, however you feel comfortable, and let's spend some time praising God. Can we? I believe God wants us to grab His attention. I believe somebody's going to do it. I believe somebody's going to receive a notable miracle right here in this place. Come on, saints of God. I'd love to see 100% participation in this crowd. I would love to see 100% participation. Come on and praise God. Come on and give God praise for all the things He has done.